So, I was actually really excited when I found out that we were going to be doing this sermon series. Today, we're starting a series where we're talking about family values, basically. And we're kind of looking at it a little differently than what you probably think of immediately when you hear the phrase family values. But we're looking at real family values. Our thought was, you know, we've got a growing number of young families and even older families who are connecting with our church. And we really want to try to empower and equip families to plant Jesus Christ at the center of their families. So the idea for this series grew out of a survey that Rebecca found online, and it was a survey that basically asked parents, what are the top 10 things that you worry about? Christian parents, what are the top 10 concerns you have? And so we kind of picked the five of those that seems to make the most sense to us, and you're going to hear about having deep relationships, being faithful, having faith be a presence in your family in the midst of an unfaithful culture, busyness, balancing work and family, and materialism, media influence. Those are the big things we're going to talk about. So how do we approach things like that as followers of Jesus? Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't really feel like a family. You know, maybe you don't have kids. Maybe your kids are long gone. Stick with it today, because I think you'll start to see a little bit of the direction that we're going to take this and what we're thinking. So anyway, getting ready for this family value series. And I think, okay, you know what? A good place to start would be just a little cruise through the New Testament and see what Jesus has to say about families. Makes sense, right? I mean, Jesus and family values just goes hand in hand, doesn't it? So here's some of what Jesus has to say about family values. In Luke 9, Jesus says to another man, "Follow me." But the man replies, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another person said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Then in Luke, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me," you ready for this? "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." In Matthew, it says, "Don't suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Well, that one makes sense. "A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Back in Luke, sorry, it was subtle there, sneaky. All right. Back in Luke, "I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or spouse or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Lastly, later in Matthew, Jesus says, "Don't call anyone on earth father, for you have one Father, and he's in heaven." Okay, thanks a lot, Jesus. That's the last time I ask, what would Jesus do? But you know what? It kind of begs the question, doesn't it? Does Jesus actually value families? I mean, it's tempting to read all those verses and think Jesus is anti-family. Not at all. Not at all. Remember, this is the same Jesus who significantly raises the bar for when it's okay to get a divorce. This is the same Jesus who says this direct quote, "What God has joined together, let no one tear apart." And in a culture where children had very little value and no rights, Jesus was completely devoted to children. Jesus loves family. It's just that for Jesus, the biological family may not be the most important one. I think the point is this. Jesus wants one thing one thing of you, one thing of your kids, one thing of your parents, one thing of each and every one of us. Jesus wants to be the center of our existence. Jesus wants to be the core of your life. He wants everything else to grow out of your relationship with Him. The highest family value in the eyes of Jesus, it's both the simplest and the absolute hardest. It's to live in the embrace of Jesus. When we baptize people, or especially babies, we often use the language of adoption. In fact, sometimes, you know, we'll talk about a baptism as sort of an adoption ceremony in the church. And we use that language, the language of adoption, to talk about this divine reality. This reality that God adopts us into His family. For me, that is the heart and soul of family values. I love doing baptisms. It is my favorite moment in the life of the church. And after I've baptized a baby, I'll usually pick up that baby and kind of walk out into the crowd a little bit, and I'll say, "Baby Lars, look, there's Joyce, your sister. Oh, look, here's Uncle Al. Look at that big smile on Brother Jaron's face. He loves you. Look out here. That's your family." I love that moment. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, and His mother and brothers come to the place where He's talking, and someone comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they'd like to talk to you." You can sort of imagine Him saying, "Jesus, everybody will understand if you need a little family time." Jesus looks up and says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And pointing to His disciples, He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that is my brother and sister and mother." Now, at first glance, this sounds like another non-family-friendly verse. I don't think that's the case, though. I think this is Jesus redefining for us the idea of family. I think this is Jesus saying family is critical. In fact, it's so critical that I'm going to give you this great, big, loving, caring, supporting family. And you're a part of it. Take a second. This is going to be awkward. We do that a lot around here. Look around and make eye contact with a couple of people. Not me. Make eye contact. This is our family. This is your family. Family values start here. And our togetherness has a purpose. Last week, we talked about our togetherness has the purpose of equipping us to go out into the world and serve. This week, I'm going to say it differently. Our togetherness has the purpose of drawing one another into the embrace of Jesus Christ. Connecting and sending. You know what? This is the gospel. This is the good news. I've had some people remind me that as we have kept talking about God sending us out into the world, sometimes that feels a little heavy because sometimes it feels like all you can do is make it through your day trying to care for your kids. The good news better be good. And it is. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you choose to submit yourself to His leading, when you put your life in His hands and He becomes the center of who you are and you allow everything to grow out of that relationship, you get a new family. Hopefully it includes your biological family, but you are adopted in that decision, in that journey. You are adopted into the family of God. You belong to God forever. And when we get together as the family, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's the good news as you look around. Does it remind you? We're God's kids. We're His. You know, I'm not very far along in this whole parenting journey. Kobe and Maya, my two kids, they've been with us for about 6 years. And I got to be honest with you, I'm scared to death of puberty. I've been working with teenagers and youth and parents for 12 or 15 years, I guess. And I know what teenagers think. I know what they're thinking about doing. I know what's going on, and I'm pretty nervous. But I have this growing realization. I have this realization that I really have one calling, one job as a parent. It's to show my kids the embrace of Jesus. There's nothing I can do that matters more than that. I was driving home from work one day, and I was remembering driving to work that morning. It had been a rough morning. It was one of those mornings where, you know, everything went late. We woke up late. It took twice as long to brush our teeth, and they wouldn't eat breakfast, and they wouldn't get dressed, and then they wouldn't wear the right shoes, and that matters to me. And I got so frustrated that I yelled at them. I just yelled. And I'm driving home thinking, what did I show my kids about God this morning? Do my kids see God the way they saw me this morning? You know what I want? I want my kids to know the joy of the Lord. I want our home to be filled with the embrace of Jesus. I want our children to look forward to spending time with God. I want our highest value to be Jesus at the core of who we are and what we do. We had a speaker on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago at our Four Families program, and he said, he had a great quote. He said, your kids are only going to value what you value. And you know what? Values aren't words. Values are not beliefs. Values are what you do. Your kids are only going to value what they see you do. I hope and pray my kids see me value the embrace of Jesus. And you know what? I think this is perfect. The number one concern parents listed on that top 10 list, the number one concern was, how do we have deep relationships as a family? How do we love each other? How do we have deep relationships with each other and with God? The number one desire of God for us, that we have a deep relationship with Jesus and with each other. I read a book this past week, and maybe this has as much to do with my emotional wreck of a state that I'm in. I read The Shack this week. Anybody read that? I cried like a baby, I got to admit. I haven't cried in years that I can remember, but I had to change shirts after reading this book. You know what? I was weeping because as I read it, I could just feel God's longing to be with me. I cried because I could feel God's joy when He looks at me. I cried because I heard again God say, I'm especially fond of you. I cried because I haven't felt that embrace of Jesus in a long time. How do we have deeper relationships with one another? How do we grow our relationships with our kids? How do we help our kids have deeper relationships with God? By living in that embrace. the embrace of Jesus. Now, I feel this internal pressure to give you some kind of practical advice. It's always kind of struck me as funny that pastors are supposed to have answers to everything. It's like you get ordained and suddenly you know everything about raising kids or having a spouse. Or I laugh at myself every time I have to do premarital counseling for somebody getting married. But there is one thing us pastors are good at, and it's pretending to have all the answers. So I do have a tip for you. A practical strategy for growing deeper with your kids, growing deeper with each other. Frankly, growing deeper with Jesus. It's two things. Known and knowing. Knowing and being known. Do you ever do this? You get home from work and you're reading the newspaper and your daughter comes in and starts telling you about the latest adventure with the fairies in the backyard, and you say, "That's nice, dear," and you haven't heard a word of what she said. And in a few years, she's going to be telling you about what she was, her latest adventure with the boys in the backyard, and you're going to say, "That's nice, dear." What if instead I put down the newspaper and I say, "Which one's your favorite fairy? Why do you like her? What is she like about you? Let me tell you what I like about you." Then she knows me, and I know her a little better. Those are the kind of questions I imagine God asking me. Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants to have that experience of knowing and being known. Jesus wants to know you, and he wants to be known by you, just like that. If you want to know your kids or other people, prove it. Prove it by knowing and being known, by asking questions and by listening, by getting in their world and letting them into your world. May you find the complete freedom of being truly known. May you value others enough to truly know them. May your knowing and your being known grow out of the embrace of Jesus.